Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
You may remember local Chicago author Scott Turow wrote that classic legal thriller book, Presumed Innocent, made into a movie that was released in 1990. Wow, that long ago. Starring Harrison Ford and Raul Julia. It was a classic. And now there is a new remake of Presumed Innocent. It's an 8-episode series on Apple. And I want to talk about it with Jake Hamilton, who is the Emmy Award-winning entertainment reporter at Fox 32 in Chicago. Welcome back to the show, Jake. How are you?
I'm doing well, Karen. I'm so excited to talk with you. Obviously, you and I ran into each other a couple of weeks ago, and we started talking about the show, and we said, okay, we got to go on the air and talk about it.
We absolutely did.
I don't know about you, but this is the closest that I've seen like a water cooler show in our newsroom in a long time, honestly.
Exactly. We were out on a boat together. A wonderful person invited us out, and we had a nice group of people there, and we were talking about how excited we were, and I was trying to get Scott Turow himself to come on the show. He's a friend of the show, but he's busy with a new book that's coming out in January, which I think might be a prequel to Presumed Innocent.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. So that's interesting, and I'm going to be talking to him about that soon. But let's get right to it. Tell me about this series, and tell me if it's different from, and we're not going to do any spoilers at all here today, because I'm like 2.5 series episodes in, and I'm just so riveted that I don't want to ruin anything. So we're going to keep it clean.
I would never ruin it for you. But for people who are maybe unfamiliar with the miniseries, which is on Apple TV Plus, it's a really great 8-episode miniseries. And the story, if you've never read the book or seen the original Harrison Ford film, it's about a Chicago prosecuting attorney who is accused of murdering a female colleague who he just so happens to be, he had an affair with. And what's interesting about at least the way the show is constructed, and again, we're not getting into spoilers, but the show is constructed in such a way so that not only do we not know who committed the murder, we as an audience are not entirely sure that he didn't commit the murder, which makes for a really interesting 8-episode run. And like I said, along with The White Lotus, I think these two things are the closest that every day after a new episode dropped during that 8-episode run, our newsroom over at Fox 32 would gather together and trade theories, and I had text threads going on with friends of who we all thought we did it, and every week, it's a different theory based on what was going on, and it made for a really, really fun. Fun sounds like a weird word considering the topic, but a fun 8-week run.
I agree. And, my husband and I just watched it a little bit before we came here, and we were just kind of going at it saying, no, this couldn't have been that. No, but that's why. Why did they bring that up? So, yeah, it's definitely one that evokes a lot of speculation and conversation. And I don't know about you, but I find that it's, the typical whodunit, you don't really get to know the characters. Here I feel like we're really getting to know the characters, their families and their motivations, right? Politics.
You're exactly right. It's honestly, I would imagine that, I know you've read the book. I've never read the original source material. But, when you have a film, you've got 2 hours. You have a finite amount of time. And that Harrison Ford film is great. I'm a huge Harrison Ford fan. It's interesting. It's not one of the movies that if you brought up Harrison Ford around me that I might sort of throw out there, aside from even Star Wars or Indiana Jones. It's not something like the Fugitive or Witness, for which he received an Academy Award nomination. But it's a really great early 90s, the sort of thriller they don't really make anymore, but it's exactly the sort of story that's perfect for the streaming services of today. And to your point, because we get 8 hours, because we're allowed to flesh out, you're exactly right. We're able to get stories about some of the secondary characters who are far more fleshed out, the kind of relationships and storylines and character development that they just frankly don't have time for in a 2-hour film. So you're exactly right about that.
Now, David Kelly was one of the creators of this. I'm not sure. What was his exact title? Was it producer or creator? I'm not sure.
I think creator.
Creator. And so David Kelly, tell our listeners a little about who David Kelly is and what he's done in other realms.
Well, he's got a great history with law. He was a lawyer himself, but he has created so many shows set within the world of law and other adaptations like Lincoln Lawyer or A Man in Full a little bit last year. He also created Boston Legal and Ally McBeal and The Practice and L.A. Law. So he knows how to take, and this is where your expertise far outshines mine, but take sort of the concept of law and is able to bring it to us in a way that I'm sure is dramatized, a little bit further beyond the realm of truth, but also makes it interesting for, quite frankly, someone, a layman, someone like myself who doesn't know law as well as you do, Karen, who's able to sort of at least, it's a funny thing, when those of us who don't practice law watch a show like this, we're all lawyers by the time the 8 episodes is over. The way my friends and I were talking about this, you would have thought that we were prosecuting attorneys by the time the show was over.
Right. And, we were just talking about this with a prior guest who has written a book about movies and the law. And, I'm fine with liberties being taken. I really am, because, I don't want reality. If I want reality, I'll go to my office on a Sunday rather than sit and watch a good series. But I do think I feel like the audience needs to know that these are somewhat realistic in that they've now watched O.J. Simpson. They've watched these cases on court TV. And so they know the difference between what's hearsay and what's not admissible, and that you don't just, sit and talk, you don't just pull up a witness, out of the blue and not disclose them. So I think these legal movies have to be a little bit more accurate.
You're exactly right. And also it gives us, an insight into, to your point, whenever the world is obsessed with whatever trial happens to be going on, oftentimes, our coverage ends when, they call a break at the end of the day, whenever they leave. And these sort of shows, because we are so fascinated with these kinds of cases, I think so many of us want to know, well, what are they saying when they walk out of the courtroom? What are
right.
they saying to their husbands and to their wives when they go home at night? How do you live a normal life under the cloud of whatever case it's following? And oftentimes, that's what makes these shows great as well. It's that perfect two-piece snapping together of a puzzle where you get sort of the insight into what's going on in the courtroom and also the personal lives, like you said, of these people of when they have to go home and live their lives before they go into court.
With the media spotlight shining right on them, which
exactly
is what's
right.
going on.
Exactly
in this.
Right.
So let's take a break. And when we come back, I want to play a few clips from it. And I want to play a little clip from an interview you did with Jake Gyllenhaal. We're talking to Jake Hamilton, who is the Emmy award-winning entertainment reporter, Fox 32, who's joining us, talking about the new Presumed Innocent, and I really highly recommend it. It's on Apple. We'll be back in a minute on WGN.
My suspect? Because I did not kill her.
You were there, night of. You better get yourself an attorney.
If you're arrested.
There's not an if. I will be arrested. They're gonna see that I was obsessed with her. I was basically stalking her.
You know the night she was killed, he texted her 30 times.
30 times.
This is the darkest hour of my life. But you and I will fight to save her family.
We need a credible alternative to me.
She was tied up like a prior victim.
Carol and I worked that case together.
You're saying that we put an innocent man behind bars?
You're desperate. Are you a suspect?
I did not kill her.
Welcome
you
back.
You really think that I killed Karen?
We're talking to Jake Hamilton. He's the entertainment reporter at Fox 32. We're talking about the new Presumed Innocent 8-part series on Apple. It's that dramatic. It's that good. So let's talk a little bit about this is being filmed in Chicago. Scott Turow generally writes about a kind of a fictional city in the Midwest. And this is definitely, they've got scenes of Chicago. Do you know offhand, Jake, if the whole movie was filmed in Chicago, or were there just the takes from the exterior from Chicago?
Yeah, unfortunately, it was mostly just the exteriors. A majority of the actual show itself was filmed in California. But here's what I'll tell you. I've seen a lot of movies and TV shows where the setting is supposed to be in Chicago, and it takes all of 30 seconds to look at it and go, yeah, that's Toronto, or that's Vancouver,
right,
or
right.
that's not even anywhere close to Chicago. They did a really nice job of one, shooting these really beautiful, interesting shots of our city in a way that I've never really seen the camera framing our skyline before. And so when you pair that with some, you know, the rest of the show, which obviously, like I said, wasn't shot here, it's really not that distracting. You really can't tell that it wasn't shot here. So much so that whenever I was preparing to interview Jake for the show, I had to reach out to the producers and say, listen, I need to, like, did you guys shoot this here? Because if you did, I didn't know about it. And that kind of makes me look bad at my job if Jake was in town for 6 months and I didn't know. But no, they did. Unfortunately, the majority, the meat of the show, you could say, they did not film in Chicago.
I think you know this better than I do, but isn't it cheaper to film in certain places and that's why they do it? I mean, bringing all these people to Chicago might not be cost effective.
Yeah, oftentimes it comes down to schedules and tax breaks and stuff like that. And sometimes it comes down to, quite frankly, sometimes whether or not the actor wants to, you know, be here or there. I know Jake was a producer on it as well. I think just logistically it was probably easier. I think they figured, well, we can shoot sort of the exteriors that we need to shoot. But, you know, there would be really interesting cases of there'd be a shot of, you know, one of the lawyers' SUVs driving down Wacker. And then cut to a shot of the Jake and another actor inside the car. And you would never know, based on a single edit, that one shot was in one state and one shot was in another state. It flowed very well together. They really did a great job of making an effort to cover up the fact that the majority of the show was not actually filmed here.
I think you're right. I mean, I felt like when I was in Chicago watching it. The only thing that, and this is not really the Chicago thing, but when you looked at his house when he was at home, you saw the swimming pool and the big, nice house, I'm thinking, he's a prosecutor. He doesn't make that much money. Maybe his wife is making more money than I think, but I'm thinking, I'm doing the math in my head. I'm thinking, that looks like Winnetka. I don't know about a prosecutor supporting a family.
Yeah, it's definitely, like you said, it's one of those instances, and it's the same thing whenever I watch a TV show that's set in the world of journalism or set in the world of news, where sometimes you just have to go. One of my favorite things is whenever it shows someone having the ability to be able to just barge into a newsroom, and anyone who works in the newsroom knows, you know, there's security angles that you hit before anyone can walk into a newsroom. But it's one of those things, like you said, you just go, hey, you know what, if that's their biggest flaw in an otherwise great show, then they're doing okay.
That's exactly right. Hey, you know what, Colin, let's play this clip, and it's just a short clip. You interviewed Jake Gyllenhaal on Jake's Takes, which is where you sit down with actors and you've got really good relationships with people all over the world, really, and you do a really nice job, and it was very clear that you and he were buddies, and it was really fun to watch it. I would suggest everyone should just go on YouTube and watch it, but Colin, let's play it right now, okay?
Is there any value as an actor to just pop in a DVD of that movie just to see what the hell Harrison Ford did with it before you?
Like, get lazy and just be like, yeah, I'll just do the scenes
if
the way
anything, to
did
them. What, those. Just to avoid?
Why not? It's like, yeah. No, I think, like, OT and I both come from the theater, and I think in the theater, you're constantly playing roles that other actors have played.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously I've watched other actors play roles that I would have eventually played or that I've played before, right? So there is this sort of exchange, particularly in the theater, that has that. And then whenever you come and do something in television or you do a movie, the conversation always, like, if you've redone something, you remade something, I just happened to remake Roadhouse, that's this sort of similar conversation. And to me, it feels natural. I mean, we are different. We're not going to be the same as the people who did it. And our interpretation and our reasons for wanting to do it are, maybe there are similarities, but they're different. And this is a completely different take. So no, the answer to that is no, but I think Harrison Ford is fantastic and like one of my favorites. So, you know, and I love the film, and Sidney Pollack is extraordinary too. So, I mean.
So, Jake, you know, you've seen movies that have been remade over and over again. This movie couldn't have been made the same way, right? Because it was a twisty-turny movie that, if you know the ending of the first one, you're not going to be surprised by this one, right?
Exactly right. And again, without getting into spoilers, I can tell you that even if you know the book and the original Harrison Ford film very well, there's still enough differences here in this new miniseries so that it will feel like a new experience for you. But I get what he's saying. You know, like he said, you know, he starred in the remake of Roadhouse a little bit earlier this year. And the reason I asked that question off the top anyway was just because so often when I interview actors for remakes or reboots of iconic titles or you know, different projects, they often say, yeah, I didn't go back and rewatch that. There's no point in doing that. And I find that to be interesting that there's not a process of sitting down, if anything, not to copy, but just to go, okay, well, Harrison Ford did A, B, and C, so I need to make sure that whenever I do this character, I'm doing X, Y, and Z.
Absolutely. And in this particular treatment of the show is it's important that he becomes somebody else. And, you know, he's just such a good character because he's conflicted. He's done some bad things, maybe not as bad as we think, but we don't know. And so it's really pulling me in all kinds of directions. Just as a personal question, you seem to know him pretty well. What do you think of him as a human being?
I was trying to think back to, I think my first interview with him, I'm 36 now. I think I was 20 years old the first time I sat down in front of Jake Gyllenhaal. I've always had really fun conversations with him, almost to a fault. And what I mean by that is that he can be a really fun, good time interview, which makes for great television. But then sometimes, you know, he delivers such incredible performances in movies like Nightcrawler or obviously Brokeback Mountain years ago and so many Prisoners, if you've never seen that. And sometimes you want to have serious conversations to talk about the craft and talk about his performance because he's such a great actor. But sometimes he just wants to have a good time. And so it's such a catch-22 of like you want to have good TV and you want to have a good time with these guys, but you also want to respect the work that they're doing and you want to talk about their performance. And luckily, you know, he and I have been doing this at this point together for almost 20 years. So, you know, whenever we pop in, he often knows he can mess with me a little bit. He can give me a little bit of a hard time. You know, at the beginning of that interview that you just played, he recognized that my background was different. I'd moved apartments here in Chicago. And so he had a question like, wait, hold on, where are you? I've never seen this background
right.
before. And so he gives me a little bit of that. But then he also knows that, you know, we have a little bit of work to do and he knows I got to do my job. So
yeah, he was very playful.
We have found a nice balance.
Very playful. But I know you want to get down to the questions that you're supposed to ask, not the ones that you'd be sitting next to him in a bar talking about. We only
exactly
have about
right.
a minute,
exactly
but
right.
this is kind of off the topic, but we have literally 1 minute. I saw that you were at the Democratic Convention for Fox.
Yeah.
You were with Sylvia Perez. A little clip I saw, I don't know if you were there for the whole thing or if you watched it. How would you rate, as an entertainment reporter, how would you rate the performances of the people who spoke, just generally? And literally, we have 45 seconds.
I mean, I thought it was an incredible production, you know, taking away however you feel about, you know, the political side, which side of the aisle that you go on. It was a very well done, at least from an entertainment angle, Pink's performance, all the different performances that we saw, the way they structured, even just the Democratic, the roll call, you know, Lil Jon coming out and representing the state of Georgia. Like, you know, who thought, you know, Sean Astin, who played obviously Rudy, coming out and representing Indiana. It was a really fun entertainment angle of it, which I was grateful for because it allowed me, the entertainment reporter for our station, to take part, a small part in our great coverage. I thought at least, you know, from the entertainment angle, you can't deny that they pulled out all the stops.
Jake Hamilton, thank you so much for taking time on your Sunday to join our show. Take care, and I know I'll see you around.
Thank you, Karen. Always love talking to you.